From theunce.com, this is the Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to the Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. This week, my guest is Adam Johnson, guitarist and vocalist with Loyal Divide. This young quartet has written some of the most inventive electropop I've heard in a long time. You'll have a chance to catch them at the North Coast Music Festival Labor Day weekend at Union Park in Chicago, Illinois, alongside some of the biggest acts in electronic music, the Chemical Brothers, Paul Van Dyke, Pretty Lights, Benga, and much, much more. Details on our website at theunce.com. Let's get to my interview with Adam Johnson of Loyal Divide.
Can you tell me about your musical upbringing? Were you playing instruments as a child, or do you remember what was on a lot at your house, steering you towards or maybe away from certain artists or certain styles?
Yeah, I had an older brother who was 2 years older, and he kind of was responsible for what I listened to and what I didn't listen to.
Right.
So, and then, you know, listened to a lot of classic rock and, you know, The Who and Zeppelin and all that great stuff. Got into Radiohead when I was 14 and then just kind of explored from there. But yeah, I mean, I would attribute the fundamentals of my taste to my brother's record collection.
When did you start playing guitar?
Sixth grade, I played piano before that, I took piano lessons.
Okay.
But yeah, I started guitar in about sixth grade.
And you were playing a lot of the stuff that you were hearing on the radio or that you would put on your CD player or anything like that, a lot of the classic rock, a lot of the Radiohead that you were listening to?
Yeah, you know, like stuff from my parents' record collection and then, you know, like stuff that was cool then for a fourth, fifth, or sixth grader, like Stone Temple Pilots and Pearl Jam and all that crap.
Sure. So tell me about the formation of Loyal Divide.
We all met in college where we had a cover band, and then we all moved to Columbus, Ohio, where three of the members are from, including myself. And then after 2 years in Columbus, we moved to Chicago. So I actually moved back to Columbus last year. I'm the only member who's living there, and I just take the Megabus to and fro. I moved back for the cheap living, and I wrote and produced the album.
Okay. So which artists really have a strong influence on Loyal Divide? There are a lot of synth pop and electronic vibes in your music. Can you trace that back, or is it just the sound of the times?
I mean, there are definite references, I feel, in a lot of the tracks. For instance, the song Per Fury, I think there's a big Vangelis Blade Runner influence. In the song Auto, there's a breakdown that sounds a lot like Vocal City by Luomo. And then there's, you know, at the tail end of the album, there's a drone rock song that was inspired by Sun. So it's really, you know, like from song to song, I think there are different references, and it just depended upon what I was listening to at the time. I mean, I just, you know, I have kind of a short attention span. I just go from artist to artist.
Take the sleeping dog and make it mean. Oh, now you have to throw the string. You bloodless thing to take the wrecking ball and make it swing. Oh, now
Fur, Fury, and Otto from Loyal Divide right here on the UNS podcast.
You were mentioning earlier that you wrote the album. Would you say you set the creative direction of the band, or is it a bit more democratic than that?
I am in charge of producing and putting together the tracks, but it's not a single-handed effort on my part. And a lot of that has to do with us having, you know, affording one computer and having one interface. And so, you know, you had to keep it at somebody's apartment. So I happened to be that guy, you know, so I was probably the most aggressive about it. But there are certain, I mean, the fingerprints of the other members are all over the record. So, I'm in charge. However, there is a lot of influence from the other members.
Okay. So you've opened for huge acts like Chromeo and Deadmau5. Does that have an impact on what you do as a band, your preparation for the show, your set list, the way you carry yourselves, or is it business as usual?
No, it's business as usual. Those shows, I think, were influential on our music making. I mean, I remember being really impressed by Crystal Castles and being really impressed with the crowd reaction. So I wrote a song called DDF that is just a straight four-on-the-floor dance beat that uses pretty conventional dance music technique just to, like, get the listener pumped up. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think I saw the value in that after seeing that Crystal Castle show. You know, I mean, I think it had an influence on the music. You know, I had never actually heard any of these groups before we opened for them.
Now, are you still unsigned? Are you still putting these albums out independently?
Yeah, well, the thing is we haven't really released too much music. I mean, we've been together for 5.5 years now, and we haven't released a full album.
Right.
So it's been difficult for us to really cultivate relationships just because we don't have much music to show for what we've done together. So this is our first full proper LP release. So no, we don't have a label. As of right now, we're just releasing it ourselves. When it's done, I mean, we're going to try to shop it around, whatever that means. And hopefully, you know, someone takes a chance on us. But, you know, if they don't, then that's fine too. I mean, I don't really even see the point of a record label so much apart from distribution of an actual record. So, I mean, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, that's interesting. It seems in today's music industry landscape where the big guys have crumbled and there aren't any more of these huge chains of record stores and everyone's, you know, getting music digitally or stealing music online, it seems like the importance of the album has diminished as a financial tool, and now it's more of a canvas for your artistic message. And here is the album as we've put it together, but it's not like, you know, come meet us after the show and buy our CD for $10.
Right. And I think we're at an interesting point with the album as kind of like a fetish. You know what I mean? Like, I think it could be almost an obsolete thing, but it's really difficult for artists to give up on the album format just because it's what we've grown up with, and it's a traditional thing, you know, it's like close to our hearts, the actual format of an album. So, you know, like, despite that, a lot of bands get big on just releasing singles. You know, it was important for us to make an LP that we felt was coherent, that you could listen to and would make sense in one sitting, you know, even if it doesn't really have like a financial incentive behind it.
And I think you could attribute the same sort of notion to why vinyl is making a resurgence. It's because it's this package. It's more of a message, not so much, you know, the reason you're getting a couple of bucks. Because when it comes down to it, you know, even some of the biggest artists out there aren't making a dime on their albums.
Right. I mean, vinyl is more fun. You know, it's more fun to have than a CD. It's more fun to play around with and
sure.
Read the liner notes. And I mean, I think that's the difference.
The shame was worth it, and grab the things that hide. The nose was pulled back until it was loosened.
SDDF from Loyal Divide. They'll be at the North Coast Music Festival in Chicago Labor Day weekend.
Speaking of exposure, your video for Vision is haunting, but really neat. For those who haven't seen it, imagine those depression commercials with the really sad stick figures, and then drop them into a fascist nightmare. What sort of input did you have in the making of the video?
To tell you the truth, we didn't really have much input. We knew the guys from BB Gun, and they really liked that track. And I think they got a lot of projects where they didn't have any creative control. You know, they're a company that they supply the editing, the cinematography, and the equipment. However, they're very creative guys, and they're interested in doing creative things. So they invited us to their loft in Chinatown, and we went and shot that video for 16 hours and really were at the mercy of what they wanted to do. So we didn't really have any kind of artistic input in the content of the video, but it's a difficult video to show my grandma, but I'm really happy with how the footage matches up with the music. Like, I think it makes the song better, which I think is the aim of any music video.
Absolutely. And it's been picked up by MTV?
One of the MTV websites.
At least MTV.com.
MTV Iggy.
Okay.
It's like the international.
Regardless of what it is, that's got to be, like, huge, you know? Something groundbreaking. I mean, it's hard to tell for a band at this stage of your game if it has any impact whatsoever. You know, television exposure or internet, you know, exposure.
Well, I think it's certainly helped us in a lot of ways. It's really difficult to measure the impact. It's difficult to measure the impact of anything you release, but it's certainly, you know, I think it's opened some doors for certain bookings, people having interest in our album. So, you know, it's huge in that respect.
Vision from Loyal Divide. You can check out the creepy video at theunce.com.
Well, let me shift gears here a little bit. So you're from Columbus, and there are several musical type things in Columbus for a band that's coming up. Things like ComFest, which is all about the local bands, and then there's Capital, where there's lots of music students training their scene. And then you're also partially in Chicago, which is, you know, an enormous city with a burgeoning scene. What are the differences between the scenes? What are the differences between how you can present yourself as a band, you know, where you're maybe a big fish in a smaller pond in Columbus and in Chicago where you could just as easily slip down into a sewer grate?
Right. It's difficult to say. In Chicago, It's harder to get by financially because there are so many more middlemen involved in booking a traditional venue. So, you know, it's really difficult for bands and especially smaller independent-minded bands to make any money. Where in Columbus, it's considerably easier. One nice thing about Chicago is you can definitely find groups of people who will put on improvised shows in lofts or spaces. And we've done that, and there's still no money in it, but you really get a sense of community when you play those shows, and you meet interesting people who actually want to help you out.
Sure.
So, I mean, I think the difference is in many ways financial. You know, you have to look for the community in Chicago, despite that there are many bands and many musicians.
Okay. Now, how important is North Coast Music Festival, which is coming up Labor Day weekend, to not only Loyal Divide, but also to the city of Chicago?
Well, I mean, I think everyone's really excited. It's the festival's first year, and they have a lot of really big name acts.
Huge names.
So I think it's really impressive on the promoter's part and the people who got the whole festival together. Yeah, Chicago has a lot of festivals, but they cast their nets so wide as far as genres.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's cool that there's a festival that really only has three genres of music, which are electronic hip-hop and then some bands that are jam bands and some that are both, you know, some that are all three.
Right.
So I think it's cool how focused it is, and I think people are really excited, and I think that's going to draw a big crowd.
Okay. So back to the album. When are you hoping to release this first full-length disc?
We're looking to have it finished. I have one last studio session for mixing booked. We're looking to have it finished by, released by the end of September. But, you know, seeing as we're doing it on our own, we are looking to work with a publicist. So we're in many ways at the mercy of how he or she wants to release it.
Yeah.
So, you know, we put a lot of work into it. We want to do it right.
And then are you planning a tour in support, or is it just keep going at the rate you're going, booking all the clubs and bars that you can?
Yeah, we're trying to get out of Chicago, and we're not really to the point where we can give up our day jobs.
Sure.
So, I mean, as of right now, we just have every weekend booked in different cities throughout the next couple of months. And then hopefully with any momentum that we can build up from the album release, we'll continue into next year and then hopefully be able to quit our jobs and, you know, make a real stab at it.
There you go. Adam Johnson of The Loyal Divide, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes out to Mike Raspatello, Leif Moravi, and Samantha Kretmer from North Coast Music Festival, and of course my guest, Adam Johnson. Loyal Divide will be performing Labor Day weekend at the North Coast Music Festival in Chicago. And keep checking theUNS.com for news about their full-length album. You can bet we'll let you know when that comes out. Next week on the UNS podcast, we've got a very special double episode planned in conjunction with the release of Signal Path's new album, Imaginary Lines. The podcasts come out Monday and Tuesday, featuring new tracks from the album, which drops on Wednesday. Remember to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum. And go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the show, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's ANAND @theUNS.com. Catch you next week.